All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Time now for Coming in Hot with Brent Wallace and former Ottawa Senators Bobby Ryan and Jason York.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Coming in Hot. Brent Wallace alongside two guys that shop at the same place. In fact, I just think that you guys like being teammates, that you always want to wear the same uniform.
It hasn't been planned 3 days in a row, but it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I had the same shirt on. I can't go back to back. People will think I'm a slob. That's just...
I didn't know you bought everything at Eddie Bauer.
It's easy to match with me because I just swipe through the same four sweatshirts when I'm home.
Eddie Bauer. Is Eddie Bauer still even open?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
What are you going? You going outlet shopping in the States? Remember, you go up in upstate New York, every single outlet has an Eddie Bauer in it.
LLB.
That's so true. Yeah.
And Polo as well, right? Or Tommy Hilfiger. Yeah, they usually have a Polo. There's one at Tanger, Yorkie.
You're an Eddie Bauer kind of guy, Wally.
I'm a big Eddie Bauer guy.
Yeah, you are. Come on.
Did I see something? Have you guys been to the Tanger lately after that golf place opened?
There's a golf one at Kanata Centrum.
Yeah. I haven't gone to it,
but it looks huge.
It looks incredible.
Yeah. So
no, the big news around the Tanger outlets in Kanata for our Ottawa listeners is Chick-fil-A is coming.
Whoa.
Yeah. Right? That's massive.
That's a game changer.
It's a game changer.
It's no big deal.
It's pretty healthy, Wally.
Like if you're on a road trip and you pull over, like they actually come on. The waffle fries
have less salt on them? Like, what do you mean?
They've got a great side salad. That's a little kale salad. So you feel good about yourself. You feel good about yourself after.
They've got one in, I think, Kitchener or something. They have them in Ontario.
I could bury a 12 piece with some waffle fries any day of the week. Like no questions asked. No problem.
Okay, fine. Gentlemen, we got a lot of work to do at the end of the show. We are going to pick what the Sens record is going to be for the final 35 games. We're also going to get to our lock of the day, but we do have our guest waiting. And so I don't want to
get him because he'll get grumpy.
He can be a little ornery, and I don't want him to get off on the wrong foot here because he's going to hopefully by the end of the show apologize to me.
For what? Is there a story here?
I just want an apology.
Quit trying to be a victim. There's enough of that going around.
Let's get to it. This show is always proudly brought to you by Charm Diamond Centers, over 85 locations across the country through Charm and their sister brands. Super knowledgeable. Don't forget, guys, it is 6 days left until Valentine's Day. Custom ring building delivered in less than 4 weeks with the Charm Masterpiece program and unbeatable pricing policy. Valentine's Day, again, fast approaching, or for any special occasion. Go to Charm Diamond Centers, as they are the crown jewel of beautiful pieces of jewelry, including a large selection of Canadian lab-grown diamonds, mined diamonds, and don't pay until 2025 for their instant in-store financing. For more, go to charmdiamondcenters.com.
And as always, the show is brought to you by our good friends at BEI, Bonisher Excavating, the heavy civil general contractor in both the public and the private sectors. When planning your next project, consider BEI for your aggregate supply needs, including all things like hot mix paving, custom crushing and screening. They move stuff. You can find them at bonisherexcavating.com or at 613-432-1120. Helping to shape Ottawa Valley, and they're hiring as things kick up for the summer. Slow down in the construction zones, please. Thank you to our friends at BEI.
Nice, nice. I need a house demolished, by the way. It is a this thing I bought is a piece of crap. Battlegrounds Axe Throwing. If you're looking for a fun night out, then check out Battlegrounds Axe Throwing. Great for the family, couples, and corporate groups. Kids 12 and up can throw, accompanied by a guardian. If you're looking for the ultimate birthday party, team building event, or just having a fantastic date night with your significant other, then it's time to visit Battle Axe Throwing, located at 2615 Lancaster Road. It's safe. It's fun. It requires no practice. Just come to a Battlegrounds Axe Throwing facility, and the coaches will show you the ropes and show you to hit those targets safely. You can book at battlegrounds.com.
And of course, I'd like to welcome to the show our good friend, Douglas Mattress. Of course, you can go to douglasma.ca. They are named Canada's best mattress on Canadian Living. Unrivaled comfort and feel, most in isolation. Sleeps cool, relieves pressure points, great value. Loved by more than 200,000 Canadians. Experience the industry-leading 365-night risk-free trial. Don't like it? Just get a full refund. No questions asked. And every order comes with the Sleep Comfort Bundle, two memory foam pillows with pillow protectors, one luxurious cotton sheet set, and one mattress protector. That's a $650 value when you order a Douglas mattress. Now go to douglas.ca/comingin hot and check it out. Plus, I just need a favor. Just all of you go there and use the URL douglas.ca/comingin hot. They'll think that we're doing a great job, and then they'll give us more money. Okay, perfect.
My family's very own whiskey. Barrel aged and set apart. Marked with VO, artfully blended, impeccably crafted, as a wedding gift to my son, for the bride and groom. And now, over a century later, from our very own family to yours, a legacy rooted in whiskey. Seagram's VO, growing deeper, reaching out, raising a glass to your legacy. Seagram's VO, make it your very own.
There he is. one of the happiest people I've ever interviewed in my life, Sean McCachran. Welcome to the show.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Brent.
Hey, are you in the guest cabin?
No, I'm in my attic.
Up for the attic.
Yeah. Gotta get out of the way.
It's a very Boston thing.
I like that Battle Axe commercial. I've been good team building back in Ottawa.
Right?
Yes. And the coach up to get the axe.
Oh, it's
don't hey, go Matt, there on a losing streak.
Yeah. It's probably better than playing blindfolded soccer. Remember that one?
Yeah, it'd be more fun.
Was that a Jacques thing?
Who did? Was that Perry Pern? That was Perry Pern. That was one of the hockey
Perry bring those guys did all team building. We'd go on the road for like camp, or we'd be someplace. He'd bring them in. They were great, though. I liked them a lot. They were good.
What was the worst one that you ever did?
I don't know. We did a bunch of them. They came in a lot. They were good guys. We had to do those like skis. We had like a 2x12 and ropes on them, and you had to have like 6 or 7 guys walk at the same time.
Yeah.
I think that was right. Every time we went to do it, it was like, we got to do this again. It was all right once we get to it.
Then they'd make us watch the Lou Holtz motivational tape and then the British Lions. Remember the British Lions?
But I show Lou Holtz tapes to my team.
Oh, you do, eh?
Yeah. And I still have the British Lions one. Perry like burnt it on a CD, one of those old school, not 8-track, but it's a CD.
Have you heard of this? Have you heard it, Bob? Have you seen any of those ones, Bob?
No, I haven't. I haven't at all.
The British Lions is about it's like a rugby team, and it shows their journey and their story. It's a great team building thing. But they made us watch it every year. They had to play the All Blacks, right? They played the All Blacks, and it's their story of what they did and their teamwork and their culture and all that. It's actually pretty cool.
I think there's a Netflix special on that tournament now. You can go through the whole tournament with like I think there's Wales and Scotland and a bunch of other teams.
I turned it on the other. You know what? It's funny. Just because it's not old, eh? It just kind of came out recently. Yeah. All right. I had it on the other day in the background. I'll have to go back and pay some attention to it. But
they just get the shit kicked out of each other. It's unbelievable how tough they do.
Yes, they do.
McEachern, speaking of watching stuff, do you guys get to watch the Alex Degg thing? I don't think you can see it on Amazon in the U.S. Have you seen the documentary?
No, but Yoki called me last week about doing this, and he said that the Daggy interview was really good. So I tried to find it on Amazon, and it's not out yet.
We don't have it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you in Boston? Great interview with you guys, though.
It was.
Yeah. You liked it?
Yeah, it was great.
It's funny. I watched it last night. Man, have you seen it, Bob? Daggy's it?
No, we don't get it. Are you in Boston, Sean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm down in Nashville, so the U.S. Amazon Prime doesn't have it yet.
Someone in the chat says ESPN Plus has it.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Hey, but I'll tell you, I watched it last night, fellas. It is really good. Really good. Like Daggy's, it's really well. And it's short. It's about 50 minutes. You meet his dad who passed away. And it's a little bit sad, but it's really good storytelling. I would recommend anybody to watch it.
I enjoyed your interview with Daggy. It was great.
That's how Daggy
was too. He's a great guy.
So I was going to ask you what it was like to play with him, just being you're inside it because of all the stuff that's going on around it. Like, what do you remember about it?
I just remember because I was in Boston and it was kind of, I get traded to Ottawa. I think the day I get traded, Sports Illustrated said Ottawa was the worst franchise in all of pro sports. Yes. And my wife and we just had a baby. My wife's crying. I'm like, holy shit, what am I doing?
was that article from 2018 or no?
Yeah. But the I got there and Gauthier was the ghost was the GM and Jock was the coach and Perry Pern and Craig Ramsey. I mean, best place I played in a lot. Like, I love playing for those guys. It was a lot of fun, but I just remember Daggy and Bonk and Yash, all those guys kind of taking it all the time. I mean, there'd be the articles in the paper about, you know, the only thing that floated more than Bonk was the blimp around the rink and all this other stuff. And it was kind of sad because those guys were all by themselves. All these other guys come in the league top picks and they're playing with high-end players, you know, and those guys were, you know, not playing with the best players and guys like me. But the Daggy, like, they handled it pretty good. Like, Bonky always had a tough time with the newspaper guys because he kind of went back at him. He didn't know, he's a young guy, but Daggy was funny. He was just always in a good mood, like Yoki was saying. And I was laughing because he always had the best outfits. And like, I don't know if you guys mentioned him, he colored his hair red, Yoki.
I forgot about that.
Red highlights, and he goes out in the ice for warm ups or whatever. He never wore his helmet. I think he got picked off by a puck off the post. But he puts his helmet on, he comes off after the game, and it's all red inside, you know. he'd always be like in the best suit and everything, and he'd always tell me how I'd like, hey, Daggy, nice suit, and he's like, yeah, you know, $2,000, and I go, do you ever shop anything on sale? He goes, no, I always pay full price.
He turned his nose up at guys that play full that got a sale. You cheap
pigeon.
He used to give it to Pitlick all the time.
This
scarf is worth more than that suit.
Yeah. But he was a good guy.
So you got traded to Ottawa from Boston for Trent McCleary in a third round pick in June of 96. So, and you just said, like, my wife's crying and what were you thinking was going to happen? Were you surprised that you got moved?
Not so much, because I think that was the year, like, I was in Boston and they had a bunch of guys kind of like around the 20 goal mark, and I think Steve Hines was there and Ted Donato, and they had been there a while, and Marius Tchaikovsky was there, and I thought I was getting traded in the middle of the year to Edmonton for because Ranford got traded to Boston, I think, for Tchaikovsky, and then I get traded over the summer. I mean, Michael Connell was the GM. It was a different place to play. It was a welcome. I didn't think it was going to be, but it was a welcome change for me. I mean, Ottawa was very professional, and maybe Yoki says the same thing, but I thought they were super professional, and we had a good relationship with Perry Pern, the assistant. Craig Ramsey was a great guy, and Jock was a great coach. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was really, like, I was the same, Mac. When I got initially to Ottawa, it was just so structured and, like, you just knew exactly what to do, what your role was, and it was expected. Like, it was a great culture.
Yeah, I mean, I was in I was playing for Boston. We played in Edmonton, and I'm on the bus waiting to leave, and Mike O'Connell pulls me off the bus and starts reaming me out while the guys are on the bus looking at me because I didn't play well or something. And then you come to Ottawa, and like, you know, they just didn't do that. Like, it was like you were gonna, if you know, we had a whole media thing about don't talk poorly about the team, we won't talk poorly about you in the paper, and just bring up nice about that. But yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, and every day, like Jacques would have every 3 months he'd walk by you and say, "How's the family? How you doing?" And then 3 months later, he'd ask you the exact same question. just like clockwork.
Yeah, it was funny though, because you'd have a meeting with him. He had that's the first place I had meetings, like on a, what do we go, monthly or something like that, Yogi?
Yeah,
monthly. And he would meet with them, and he'd start talking, and he'd bring up a few things, and he'd kind of go like this all the time. Yeah. And then like at the end, he had nothing to say, but he'd be waiting for you to talk. So sometimes I'd just sit there and say, and it'd get all awkward. He didn't like that part. But
it's like a showdown, eh? It's like, say when, just waiting for somebody to pull the trigger.
But yeah, you know, like I love playing for Jock. He was one of the best coaches I ever played for. But he like, my wife was on, I went to the Olympics in 98, and my wife went home. She was on, she ended up being on bed rest at home in Boston. And I came back to Ottawa, and she wasn't going to be able to come back. And Jock would give me a day off every week to fly home and see my kids and my wife. And
I remember that.
Yeah, that doesn't happen every place, that's for sure. So I love playing for Jock.
Yeah.
Are you shocked to see him back behind the bench?
I am a little bit. I picture Jock like still with that nice black hair and looking all suave. So like I think he's a little older now. But I am kind of surprised the way that happens, but I haven't been following it that much. I know Elfie's on the bench as well. I'm more shocked about that.
Oh yeah.
I was too. Yeah.
How come?
Yeah, because Elfie was, I mean, Elfie's wonderful, great player, but he didn't always agree with Jock's defensive style and stuff like that. So it was like, I'd be interested to see what the meeting's like, what they tweak and how they play things.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's very, very, very true. Because Jock's like, you got to chip the puck. You remember, I tell this story all the time, when he used to stand by the blue lines, he'd have that Peter Forsberg wooden stick, and he'd, no word of a lie, you had to chip it exactly 2 feet off the ice. And if you didn't do it, he'd make you stop and do it again. Remember, we practiced dump-ins.
Yeah.
Up on the boards or a soft chip. And if it wasn't perfect, do it again. Line changes. He actually did the line changes with the guys here. One of the first practices he did, he made this group practice lines.
Yeah. It was
great. It was so funny. It's funny to see everything happen again.
But it's the first place I played where they actually had a game plan. I tell everybody, it's the first place I was coached. I played 5 years in the league before I got coached. I mean, Craig Ramsey with his angling and how to play guys and sticks on the ice, stick on puck. None of that was going on any place I had been before.
Wow. Crazy. You're playing on the Stanley Cup champion team in Pittsburgh with Jaromir Jagr and Mario and Rick Tocchet and all. Like, what do you mean?
They go 66, you're up next. Stop the puck, Larry Murphy, get another one,
Mac.
I
met up with Barry Smith last month at Elmira. I was down there to see my son play, and Barry's like, true story, you confirm or not, did the Pittsburgh Penguins remove Scotty Bowman from practices?
So my first, I joined the Pittsburgh in 92, just before we won the cup. I joined it after the Olympic team. And I tell people this all the time. We flew to Calgary. I was going to play my first game, and we had a meeting at the hotel because they were like floundering and we weren't doing as well as we should have been doing. And Craig Patrick, the GM, gets up and says, guys, you know, what's going on? What's wrong? And I forget who it was. And it stands up in the meeting and says, we can't win with Scotty as coach. And I'm like, this is how pro hockey is? This is great. Scotty's gonna go, you know. and then Craig goes, well, we just gotta get through this year. I guarantee next year he won't be the coach, but we gotta get through this year. Then Craig walks out and Larry Murphy stands up and says, guys, we gotta vote to go on strike. And I'm like, everybody puts their hands up to go on strike, and I'm like, all right, I didn't know what the hell we were doing. I didn't play the game yet, you know. So I voted to go on strike, and we voted Scotty Bowman off the team the next year in the same meeting. But the next year we came back and they had all training camp with just the two assistant coaches. We had Rick Keogh and Rick Patterson, and they ran, and Barry Smith, and they ran the camp, and we had no coach. We went all around, did our pre-games, all that stuff. And we were like, who the hell is going to be the coach? And that they, there was no rumors or anything. And then right before the first game, we're in the locker room. We warmed up, we're in our uniforms. And Craig Patrick comes in. I just want to introduce you guys to the next coach for next year. It's Scotty Bowman again.
Wow.
But they made a deal. They made a deal with Mario that he wouldn't come on the ice for practice. So we practiced the entire year with no head coach on the ice. And it was the most light work I've ever done. Like, it was out of shape. It was bad. crazy. Different days back then.
Did the assistant coaches run it, or did you the players run it and the coaches just kind of hung out?
The assistant coaches would run it, but it was very, you know, lax. Like, Mario came out with a towel around his neck and no helmet. And he'd, like, skate around like he can. Like, and, like, that guy's ridiculous. Like, I've never been on the ice with anybody like that. But, you know, he's a righty. He'd shoot the puck, and then he'd look over at the assistant coaches, and he'd give him one of these, and he'd get off the ice in the middle of practice.
Come on.
Right up your alley, Bob.
It's working knows Barrasso. If someone shot the puck too high on Barrasso, he'd leave too, you know?
I would have been great in the early 90s.
Hey, this is true. When we traded for Tom Barrasso, we had a team meeting before he came, and we're like, okay, guys, rumor is we're not allowed to shoot above his pads. So we all knew this when he came in, and the first practice, every single shot was like a foot off the ice. Probably just keep him on the ice, because we heard if you shot high, he was going to throw the stick right at you.
I was so excited when he got traded. I was like, wait till you guys see this. This is awesome. He was driving a Bentley in Pittsburgh. We had all a bunch of Chevys in the parking lot at Ottawa. Yep. Oh, he was so funny.
Do you remember he was sitting at the back of the bus and he was pulling out his watches? And it was guys were like, God, they had never seen a watch like this. And he's like, yeah. The other one back home is worth twice as much. What? Really? Really? Tell me more.
We were in the restaurant in Toronto and in the playoffs, and he ordered the bottle. He was a big wine guy. Remember this, Yorkie?
I remember.
And he ordered a bottle of wine, and they took a sip. He sends it back. And then he brings another one, takes a sip, and sniffs it, sends it back. We're like, whoa. And then they bring another bottle of wine. And he finally keeps it. And I think it was Rob Zandler goes, oh, wow, Tommy, you know a lot about wine. He's like, well, when you have a $30,000 wine closet, you tend to know a lot about wine. And he's like, you have $30,000 $30,000 worth of wine at $10 a bottle? That's a lot of wine.
Love Rob Zander.
What did the guys in Pittsburgh call him? What was his name?
Oh, Thurston. Thurston Howell from the Gilligan's Island.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He was good. Hey, that guy was one of the best goalies to ever play, though. He was amazing.
Hey, listen, I loved him. I loved him because he, like, once he was in the net for a game, man, he was a competitor.
Oh, yeah.
I loved him. He hated the media. Hated the media.
We'd come off the ice. Remember coming off the ice in Toronto and the guys people are yelling at him and stuff? And they're like, hey, Brasma, you suck. And he's like, I got $4 million in the bank. How much you got, buddy?
Bobby, you would have loved this guy.
Oh, man. He's great. We got to get this guy.
No, he won't come on.
No, there's no. He hates Wally.
Oh, he does?
He was never there long enough. I didn't speak, but he did give our camera the finger once. Because remember, he had a broken hand. He had a broken finger.
Yeah.
And so I remember I could always talk to my camera guy through the mic, and I'd be like, Dave, just get a shot of his hand as he's walking through the locker room. And so Dave goes, and you can see it. All of a sudden, he just sticks his finger out just to give you the can't use that shot.
He was mad because when he came, he sat down in his locker, and he did this in Pittsburgh too. And like, maybe you went over to talk to him, and he'd sit there and he'd just look at you. Then someone else would come over and talk. He'd just look at it, wouldn't talk. And then he'd stand up and go, guys, I'm only doing this once. I'll talk to everybody at once, and then I'm done.
And he would always look just over your eye line. Yeah. Like, he would never look at you, just above you.
Anyway, that was great.
Kenneth Verhaeghe one time asked a question about, I don't know, you had 37 saves or I don't know. And he goes, something about a couple of posts. He goes, you want me to stop the ones going wide too? So,
that was in Toronto. That was great.
I was like, okay. So why didn't it work in Ottawa when he came here and he played? Like, he didn't play very well. So was there a reason?
I don't know. I mean, it was – how old was he then? I mean,
yeah, he had to be wasn't that bad.
How old?
Well, he only played three more years. Yeah. After.
I mean, he went from playing high school hockey against my brother. They played like 20 games a season, 18 games, right? They, my brother's team beat him in the like the finals at the Boston Garden. He's 18 years old. The next year, he's playing for Buffalo. He wins the Calder and the Vesna, I believe.
Yep.
Wow.
That's insane.
It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's no question he was a great goaltender. That's why I was excited to see him come to Ottawa, because you guys had to beat the Leafs, right? You had to get over that hump. And then
Ty Domi jumped in the board's face first.
that's where I think Alfie said we would have won that series if Rickard Pearson had better balance. No, if Ty Domi had better balance.
Yeah.
My last year with Ottawa was because I was a free agent, because we got swept by the Leafs. That's the year we brought in Barrasso, and we got swept. I'll never forget Yash hugging. You can remember this. Yash was hugging Shane Corson at center ice after we got swept. Oh, come on in for the real stuff here. I'm like, hugging guys after you lose four straight? Like, Jesus Christ. He just cost me about $5 million.
We checked him the whole series, too. He was checking him the whole series.
Reminds me of Mike Pekka in the year before, I think it was, right? Or 99 Buffalo. Yash couldn't get away. I got a million questions for you, Sean, but one of them is, you got traded in Pittsburgh your rookie year, at the end of it, I should say, in the offseason, to L.A. for Marty McSorley. And then, was it 117 days later or something? 173 days later, you get traded back to Pittsburgh for Marty McSorley.
Yeah.
I'm just curious what happened there.
It was 173 days too late. It was awful. I got traded. So that was the year that McSorley, LA had that crazy run to the finals when Barry Melrose was the coach.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then McSorley got the stick check.
Oh.
And
illegal stick. Illegal stick.
Oh, sorry.
In the finals. Right. Yes. They lose because of it. Right. And that year, St. Louis signed Marty to an offer sheet, and LA matched it. Nick Beverly was the GM. He traded them to Pittsburgh for me. I found out in the news, because we didn't have cell phones back then. I was out in my boat and came home and I watched in the news that I get traded. And then I went out to LA and quickly realized Barry Melrose didn't have much time for a 5'10", 5'11", fast guy. He was not happy about it. You played for him, Yoki?
He didn't like college guys.
No, he said, first thing he said to me, you haven't played in the minors, Sean? I'm like, no. He goes, I think everybody should play in the minors. I'm like, no.
Tough start. Oh, that's true. Then
You know what? You know what he said to us? He goes, you guys all bitch and complain about being in the minors. When you're retired, you're gonna look back and it's gonna be the best time you ever had in your lives. Like, he loved you spending your time in the minors.
Yeah. And he was a nice enough guy, but he wasn't an X and O's guy. We had a dynamite team in LA, but not much direction we were going. We had Zhitnik on defense, Blake, Charlie Huddy, Waters. We had Kelly Rudy in net. We had Curry, Sandstrom, Robitaille, Gretzky, Granato, Robert Lang. We had a stud team, but we didn't win. And then all the time Barry would bring up McSorley in the locker room about his toughness. That was the year he fought Probert for a long, long fight. And so I was just kind of waiting to see what was going to happen with me, because I wasn't playing much. And then I think McSorley didn't like hit it off in Pittsburgh much either. So
yeah,
they made the trade back. It was me and Thomas Sandstrom for Jimmy Peck and Marty McSorley.
Yeah,
I was happy.
I forgot you were in LA.
49 games.
I try to forget.
There is. I do. We have one picture. I do. I remember. I've seen you play in an LA King uniform.
I had long hair.
No.
You had hair back then?
Yeah, it looked good.
Stop it.
Yeah, I did. I did a lot with it.
Did you have real hair or did you have the Zamner hair? Remember the Zamner hair?
Yeah, I still had hair. Then I get rid of it when I get to Ottawa, but that was enough. Nobody told me in time. I had a couple bad years there. I had to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Before I get to the Ottawa stuff, you said, I watched an interview with you, that you didn't keep any like milestone pucks, like not your first puck, not your 200th goal or any of that. Like, why not? Like, what did you keep?
I don't really have anything. I have my first stick in the NHL, I think. I don't have my first goal. I have a puck that says NHL on the plaque that says first goal, but I don't have the puck. I don't know. I just forgot to. I wish I kept a lot of stuff. I was in Pittsburgh this past week recruiting, and I saw Brian Trotche walked in the rink, and he was always such a nice guy. So I was talking to Trotz a little bit, and then it made me remember when I was in Pittsburgh and he would leave notes in my locker about like things to work on in my game. I'm like, that's what I should have saved. I thought that was kind of cool.
That's kind of cool. Yeah. Ah, that is
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. But no, like, I never saved much. No.
Really? It's so, it's interesting to me. You did play with the Easton Synergy that's coming back, the silver one. There's some pictures I've seen that it started to come back now on a different wrap. Like you had in that Pittsburgh team, because all the Hall of Famers. Did you appreciate it at the time?
No, I think probably like everybody else, like you're just trying to earn your spot. And I mean, you're on the bench. If you're on the bench and Mario Lemieux's on the ice, it's literally like watching like a high school, like a 21-year-old guy play with like 15-year-olds. It's insane how good the guy was. Like just bigger, stronger, faster than everybody. So that when you watch him, like in practice, you're playing down low against him. It's like, what am I going to do here? And then Jagr was the same way. But yeah, you know, I mean, the guys, they were so good. They were, I mean, there's, and then Rick Pocket's like one of the toughest guys I ever played with. It was a crazy good team.
Yeah, I remember every time when we were in Ottawa, we'd meet because Jagr was at his best back then. Jagr was almost unstoppable. I'll never forget this. Mac used to come because you'd be in two different rooms. You'd have the forwards in one room and the D in that shitty old rink. Mac would come into the defense. He's like, guys, slash Jagr's hands. He hates getting slashed in the hands. Like, think about your game plan. So our whole game plan to stop this guy was just to slash his hands. Like, who does, Bob? Do you like getting your hands slashed?
No. It's like we talk about goaltending. They're down on the first shot. They hate traffic. I'm like, what goalie likes being doing that? Or what forward likes being slashed on the hands?
But back then, Yoki, you'd wear like armor on your wrist because.
Oh,
I got my thumb broke through my gloves. I wore those iTech gloves that were like stuffed with like newspaper. I missed some playoffs game because I got you get slashed so hard back then, you know.
Yeah, don't talk to Bob about bad hands.
Yeah. I could have used the armor. Yeah, I got about 90 IR games for that for broken fingers. But just soft.
So you formed one of the best lines in Ottawa Senator history. And the first big line, right? Like
Yoki's favorite line. Yoki's favorite line of all time.
This was long before the pizza line existed. Ottawa's greatest line ever. It had a little bit of everything. Just a terrible name. Like, who named this line?
Fans or something, wasn't it?
I think they had a contest. I think, remember, Donnie Brennan did a contest in the Ottawa Sun. Name this line. And everybody voted in. And this is what they, do you have the graphic? This is what they came up with. Ministry
of By the way, Yorkie made this. Okay. This took him 17 hours.
Look at that. Do you know why though? You had to have Yash with the turtleneck.
Turtleneck. Okay? Yeah. For sure.
McEachran, Yash, and Dackel, the Ministry of Offense. That was a good line though.
I liked it. It was fun playing on. Yeah. Dax was a hell of a player too. Wow. He's good.
Underrated.
So you have 30 goal seasons. Yash is an NHL, is a Hart Trophy finalist. What made that line work so well? And were you like, do you guys still talk to Dax and Yash to this day?
No, I haven't talked to those guys in forever. I didn't. No. I mean, I was listening to the podcast and they talked about, you guys asked Daggy if him and Yash were tight or something like that, I think. I was laughing my ass off. When I got there, I was going to play with Dag. I mean, Yash, they told me. So I'm like, oh, yeah, Yash, want to pick me up? We go to the games together or something? He's like, yeah. You know, like he didn't talk much. And I get in the car with him, and he's got like the Russian music on. Doesn't say a word the entire ride. It lasted like a week, and I'm like, yeah, I'll just try myself now. You know, he didn't talk much. But Dax just laughed a lot. He just laughed a lot, you know. And he was that guy was a hard worker, a tough kid. I mean, he got killed by Lindros one time, but he was a good player.
Yeah. I'll never forget that one.
Is he a Swede?
Yeah. He went home and played in like, is it Brainerd? So he played there forever after he was in the NHL.
I always laughed at him because back then I think him and Arvidsson both drove like Ford Escorts to the rink. Like they had the cheapest, smallest car, and I always just, I'm like, Andy, just spend some money every once in a while. Yeah.
You mentioned Yash, how he was kind of odd. I don't know if I told the story on the pod before. He invited me over to his house for lunch once. because he lived on Shaughnessy across from where we all used to live. Like back then, everybody lived on the same street. It was weird. So I go over for lunch. His mom for lunch serves that Russian soup. It's called borscht. It's like cold. Yeah, he's like, how's the soup? I'm like, oh, yeah, it's good. It's good. And then he took me down to the basement to give me a karate demonstration. Because he was showing me his kicks and stuff. And it was very weird. And it was the one and only time we went for lunch.
First and last.
But let's be clear. He was a nice guy, really nice guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a like the first time you score 30, is it a big deal to you? Which is in was it 98? Now I can't remember off the top of my head.
Fuck, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, I was a big guy. I get 28 one time, maybe I had 29 another time, so I was happy to score 30. Yeah, I mean, we played it was so much fun playing on that line with Gash because you know he was one of the best players in the league, and I always felt like he just tried to do the things he didn't want to do, like you know. Forecheck and backcheck or do whatever he didn't want to do, you know, because when he had the puck on his stick, he couldn't get it away from him and then just go to the net when he had it because he was usually shooting it. And Dax was kind of the same way. But it was, I mean, you get to play against the other team's top line every game. It was like you go from being like a third liner where it's like, yeah, it's not too bad. Then you're on that line with Gash and you're getting the shit kicked out of you every night. But this and they expect you to score goals. It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
I mean, well, you did have a great career in Ottawa, but just for those who don't know, you were you ranked 15th overall in games played, 9th overall in goals, 14th in assists, 12th in points, 9th in power play goals, 15th in shots on goal. Like you had 6 years, by the way, very good career in Ottawa. The year Yash held out, what were you thinking? Were you a little disappointed? Because here you are scoring goals at will with one of the best players in the league, and you don't have that guy anymore.
We kind of knew it was going to happen. Like,
yeah,
it was always like in Ottawa, it was funny. I don't know if Yorkie talks about it, but we just didn't like the whole thing was nobody said anything in the press about anybody. And yeah. It was kind of like, you know, they'd ask you, what makes Yash such a great leader? Like, oh, he's just a great guy, this and that. But, you know, he didn't talk much. You know, he wasn't the big leader on the team like Alfie was. Or there was a lot of guys that were great guys, but he just wasn't the talker. But I figured who I play with the next year. I think we almost won the President's Trophy the next year without him.
Yeah, we were good.
Yeah, but for you, all I'm saying, okay, so here's why I asked the question. In 97-98, finished second in scoring. 98-99, you finished second in scoring. Yashin's a hard finalist. Yashin held out. You went to fifth in scoring. And I was just curious if that played a part of not having him as your center.
I don't know. How many? What do they have for points? What do they have for goals?
You only had 29.
Yeah. So,
not a 30 goal scorer is what I'm trying
what
to
do. What was the worst part about being in Ottawa, Yorkie, is friggin' Brent, like just busting my balls all the time.
Right. You're not a 30, you got 29.
Yeah. Hey, wait, so here's where I'm going to bring it up now. I want an apology from you.
What was that? For what?
Because, so here you are, one of the stars in the team, like 30 goal scorer, you're playing on the top line. If I needed a clip from you, it was like trying to pull teeth. It'd be like, I'm not talking today. And then I'd show up, I'd ask a question. You'd be like, yeah, we got to play hard and back check and full 60 minutes. Then the camera turns off and you're like, you're just telling jokes and everything is great. Every damn day. And I'm like, Sean, can I talk to you? No, I don't want it. So I just want an apology for being so hard on me to try and help this young little fella.
Yeah,
get his story done.
I realized quickly in Ottawa when I watched what they did to Bonky and Dag and all those guys. I said, I'm not talking to these guys. I'll talk to them all the time. Be their buddies. I'm not going to get killed in the media from these guys. I'm just going to talk a lot without the mic, but I'm not saying much when I go on. I'll tell you that.
Well, just say you're sorry and we can move on.
You won't get it. You're not getting it.
Damn it. Okay, Yorkie, I want you to ask about your story with your good friend.
Oh, he doesn't have the boat anymore. Like, I think it's a great story. The butcher's dog.
Yeah.
It's a great story.
Okay, well, there's two parts to this. One, yeah. Let me tell the story about the actual, your very first NHL goal you score in the playoffs against the New York Rangers, I think is the series clinching game. It's a 5-2 victory. I think you scored the fourth goal, maybe. Gavin, do we have that tweet from the Pittsburgh Penguins? So we stole this from the Penguins hockey. It's the first time that you gets used that they called you playing. Mike Lang said he's smiling like a butcher's dog.
Yep.
So that, do you have that goal on VHS somewhere?
VHS.
Bob, you like the wood stick there? You like the wood? I think it's a wood stick.
It's Canadian.
That's old school right there.
that's a heavy piece of lumber right there.
Bob, have you ever used a wood stick, by the way, ever?
No.
That's crazy when you think about that. Eh?
You know, when I think of like old school sticks is like when you used to have to melt the fucking glue and then jam it into the shed. Like that was like, that's what I started with.
I was the first one to have those in Pittsburgh. And Kevin Stevens like, throw those fucking things away. They fucking break all the time.
They're going nowhere.
You turn them over. You had to turn them over when they got like warped. You turn it over after warm-ups.
That's right. Remember the old Eastons?
Yeah.
And you could shoot them harder because you had a little bit of a bow in it
after
you flipped it. That's right. That's right.
That guy, that Mike Lang guy kept saying, because I had a tough time scoring it when I first got to Pittsburgh. I had tons of chances. He said, oh, I'm saving one for you, because he was kind of famous for those. And then so he said, he smiled like a butcher's dog when I scored. And then like, fast forward, I don't know, 2 years later, I went to arbitration with Pittsburgh. And did you go to arbitration, Bobby?
Never did, no.
Yeah, I went twice.
They just handed Bobby money.
Yeah.
I was only a free agent for 1 year, and it was my last year in the league.
We didn't have free agency until like
31.
Yeah, 31. Yeah. So I went to arbitration and being like being the genius I was, I like boats. So I won an arbitration, and it was like back pay from the year before, because we got locked out in 94, I think. So I got a check for like 150 grand or something like that in back pay. And I just went right to the boat shop and bought a used boat that was like 37 feet. I'd never taken a boat out more than 21 feet. And I named it the arbitrator.
Well, that's the arbitrator. But when I went down to visit you at Marblehead,
Dog. I just sold that last year. But that one I named the arbitrator after the guy that gave me the money. And that was on that was in Hockey News. They put a picture of it in Hockey News. I don't think that was a good move. That wasn't a good move. I named this last boat. I had the Butcher's Dog for a long time as my boat. And then just recently I switched over to Sleepwalker, Yorkie. As you know, you would know why it's Sleepwalker.
That's right. Yeah. Whoever roomed with Mac on the road, he would sleepwalk. And he'd come over and visit you at your bed, and like you'd have to go put him back to bed.
Let's not go that far, Yorkie. I didn't visit anybody in the middle of the night.
Get back in there.
Well, no, don't let Yorkie tell the story. That's the moral.
It was brutal. I broke my ribs. I got stitches in my head from sleepwalking. I would do it like all the time. I was rooming in LA. I room with Yorkie. I told you that. Who's the guy that Murray? Rob Murray.
Glenn Murray.
No, the guy that was he's a scout for Buffalo or something. He's from Ottawa, I thought.
Oh, Rob Murphy.
Rob Murphy.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
When I got to LA, I was rooming with him, and we went and we checked into the room. We had room service, and I forgot to tell him my sleepwalk. And I get up and I threw everything around the room, like cut my foot. And he thought someone broke into the room and I was fighting with him. Yeah, he was like, what the fuck? What the hell's going on? You know,
you're like swinging.
Like I'm throwing wallpaper off the walls and everything else. Lift the bed up, everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of stepbrothers when
we're right, Kyle Riley
are the throw pillows in the oven?
Did you ever get that? Are you still doing that? Do you ever get it figured out?
No, I mean I haven't done it in a while, but that was funny because I was doing it up till a couple of years ago, but they said, like, they would tell you, like, I went to a sleep clinic when I was on the Olympic team because I wasn't sleeping at all. And they put me in the thing. They said, oh, you need to lower your stress and get more sleep. I'm like, yeah, I'm trying out for the Olympic team and I'm going to go to the NHL. I'm not stressed at all. This is easy. Traveling all over the world. Yeah, it's easy.
One more story we got to ask you. And I tweeted this out today, arguably one of the cleverest pranks I think I've ever seen done on a guy. When we landed in Boston, you set up one of the biggest, I don't even know what to call it. It was one of the biggest hoaxes, and it was so funny with Grant Ledyard.
Yeah. Ledge, I haven't seen Ledge in a long time. He was a funny guy though, huh?
Oh, we
were in Pittsburgh the night before. It was in February. It was like February 28th. That's my birthday. And I was on the ice, and I think I was talking to Jock or something before the game or something. He comes up behind me, gives me the shaving cream pie in my face. So I'm like, oh, okay, that's a good one. That's a good one, Ledge. And then we went up to Boston and we played Boston. I don't know if I didn't play the game or something. I saw a friend of mine that was my assistant coach in high school, and he was a state trooper. So he's like, you're going to be at the airport? I'm like, yeah. I go, you think you could, you know, arrest one of my friends for me? He's like, yeah, absolutely. So we get off the bus, like at the plane, and we're getting off. And the funniest thing is the guy goes up to Jock and goes, is Grant Legend here? And Jock's like, yeah, he's right there. Like, he just threw him under the bus right away. So we get off the bus, we come down the thing, and everybody's kind of like mingling around. This two state troopers with their like those funky pants on and stuff. And he starts asking Grant, so Grant, do you drive a Jeep with a license plate, blah, 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 blah? And Grant's like, yeah, I do. He's like, well, you're going to have to come with us. And he puts him in the back of the police car. And Grant's sitting there, and he's got his carry on his lap in the back of the police car. And my buddy comes over and goes, see, you want to let him out? I'm like, yeah, sure. I go over and open the door. Hey, Grant.
That is incredible.
He was shitting himself.
Pie in the face? Let's try.
Yeah, he's like, pie in the face, get me arrested a little bit.
But it was so good because it was right at the airport. We got off the plane and the bus, and it was, and he believed it too. Like, he was shitting his pants.
Jock did too. Jock threw him right under the bus.
Right there.
I'm running out of time, McCarron, but I got lots of questions for you. What do you have a favorite moment in Ottawa?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I don't know. I thought the first year we made the playoffs at the end of the season, I think we beat Detroit maybe. Buffalo.
Buffalo.
We beat
Buffalo. Beat Buffalo 1-0. Hasek. Remember Hasek was hammered the night before?
Yeah, we needed that game to get in the playoffs. So, and the place went berserk. Like, Ottawa was on fire. It was so much fun. We had a good group of guys there that year. And we just barely made it, though. We had come down the stretch there where we had a bunch of games we had to win. We had a big trip to Florida, Yorkie, and then we were home.
Hasek was hammered the night before our game.
Like, so we had, so I know this story. We talked about it. We did a thing that last week. We did a comedy night. And we told the story. Remember Frank Musil?
Yes.
Frank Musil was a Czech guy, Bob, and he wasn't playing, older guy, and he was buddies with Hasek. Mm-hmm. And Hasek at the time, he was a known guy. I like to go out and have fun. So Musil said, boys, don't worry. I'm going to take care of Dom. So they come in the night before, and Frankie takes Hasek out, and they go out downtown Ottawa. Next morning, Frankie comes in. It's like, boys, don't worry.
he was hammered last night. He won't be playing. It's all good. And we're like, all right, we're going to get the backup. Because Hasek back then was winning her trophies. And like, he was by far the best. He was the best player in the league. We had to win this game. So we're like going up to the game that night. And all of a sudden we look down. Hasek's in the starter's net. What the fuck, Frank? Like I thought he was hammered. And Hasek ended up playing that game after getting carried out of the bar the night before and stood on his head. Like, it was a performance for a guy that, you know, was howling at the moon the night before, but we ended up winning the game. But that's, I don't know if you remember that, Mac, Frankie coming in and saying that. It was so, but I agree. That to me is my favorite moment too. Remember the woohoo towels?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was just like all new. The people loved it. They didn't, you know, they were just dying for a team to be successful. It was a lot of fun. Yeah.
It was really good. Because I've never, to this day, I think that might be the loudest I've experienced. Obviously, I think 2007, the building was pretty loud. But for me, that's the loudest I ever heard that building.
Yeah. It was a fun place to play just because you knew everybody. Like, you know, Brent, we come in, like, the same people there every day. It wasn't like in a big city. It was good.
Yeah, it was cool. It was great.
So you liked having me around. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Quickly, playing in Atlanta, you were the captain of the Atlanta Thrashers. I just want to know what that was like.
As far as what?
I don't, like, even someone in the chat was like, can you ask about playing in Atlanta? And I remember looking, I was like, I don't remember you being the captain. And you took over for Ray Ferraro. You played two seasons there. I guess, what was it like to play in Atlanta?
Atlanta was good. It was a fun place to play. And we had some really good players. I got there, we had that tragedy happen when I was there, though. Like, we had Heatley, and we had, what's his name?
Patrick Steffen.
We had the right winger that could score.
Kovalchuk.
Yeah. I mean, and Patty Steffen. There's another guy, though. Just like Daigie and Bonk went to a team that didn't have any older guys, like the old expansion teams, Patrick Steffen was a hell of a player. You know what I mean? He just got kind of stuck. But when I got there, it was fun. We had Kurt Frazier was the coach. I remember playing against him going, that guy looks like a mean prick. And he was the nicest guy, almost too nice. He was the nicest guy ever. And he got fired at Christmas time, and they brought in Bob Hartley.
Oh, yes.
And Bob had the same type of systems as Jock, actually. And I liked playing for Bob, but he was a tough guy. So, like, the first practice, like, he's getting after it. Guys were, like, going down like flies because nobody had worked that hard before, you know? I ended up blowing my back out that year and missing the rest of the season. I had back surgery, hernia surgery. Then I came back the next year and started the season. And that's when, like, Danny Heatley in that year, my second year there in the preseason, Danny Heatley was, like, on another level. He was so good. And Kovalchuk and those guys. And then the accident happened with Dan Schneider, and it was just terrible. Just terrible. Yeah. You know,
can't even imagine.
Yeah, it was tough. And there was a lot of good guys there, and it was a good team. And I feel bad because Danny Heatley, and he was a good kid, and he was gonna have a hell of a career, but that was just such a tragedy. Dan Schneider's parents was the nicest people ever, just such great people.
That was
I was in Owen Sound when that happened, and Dan Schneider had been the captain, and he was a plater, right? And I was an Owen Sound attack. But what year was that?
2003, 2004.
That's right. It was my first year there when that happened, and it was such a tragedy in Owen Sound. He was beloved in Owen Sound as a longtime captain there.
Yeah, he was a great kid. He was like a real gritty, smaller guy that Hartley loved too. And him and Danny Heatley were good buddies. It was just so sad. Like, when you get the news, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, you get a call from Bob Hartley. It was terrible. And it was terrible.
Yeah. We're shifting out of that. Did you enjoy the city, like, playing there? Because I drive through it a ton. It's not far from me here, and I go down to my place in Georgia. But and I played one game there, and there might have been 2,500 people in the stands. So I was wondering, like, was it a little different then? Were you still early? Like, what years were you there?
I got traded there in 2002.
2002.
Okay. 2003, 2004 seasons.
Yeah. I mean, I came from Ottawa. Where it was like, you know, my last season in Ottawa, I think I was kind of banged up, but I didn't play well. So I was like, it's fine, whatever. And I was at the end of my free agent contract, and I wasn't going to get taxed 52% anymore. That was pretty good. I didn't need the free health care anymore for 52%. But That's my big joke down here when people say, talk about, oh, we should get free health care. I'm like, yeah, it's free. All right. So when I went down there, it was great because it was kind of like nobody knew, you know, it was just back in the US. But I feel like it could have been a good market. It just like the, like you played there. We never had a lot of fans, though. No, we never had a lot of fans. It was a cool place to live, though. It was good. I mean, you're in Nashville. I mean, that's that. I mean, the climate down there is just a little better than Ottawa.
Yeah, just a touch.
A little better.
And Boston.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough.
Sean, in your first year, you played on the team that won 17 straight games, which Edmonton just saw their record come to an end at 16. So I was curious of what that was like playing on that team that was going through 17 games. And before that, you guys had gone 2-7-1 leading into that. And one of those was a loss to Ottawa, which won 10 games that year.
We lost to Ottawa?
Yes. It was like just before that. I was like, whoa, what?
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, one of those two wins in the previous 10 was to Ottawa.
Yeah, what year was it?
One of those seven losses, I should say.
What year was it?
1990, your rookie year, 92, 93, your first full year. Is that?
Yeah, but my first.
Because you played the first year. It should have been 93, 94.
Yeah, so we played Quebec. I think Quebec was the other good team in the league then, too. Right? Yeah, I think so. I don't know. But, yeah, that was, I mean, we ripped it off. Like, that team that year was winning. I mean, how many games we won? It was crazy.
You went 56, 21, and 7.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what year. When I came back from L.A., I was playing in Pittsburgh, I was on the third line, and all three of us had 20 that year. Marty Strzok and Doug Brown. And the first lines all got 50. I think Tock had 49, you know.
Rick Tock had 48,
129. 29's not 30, Brent. 29's not 30.
I know.
29's not 50. I know.
He had 48 goals and 100. And you had four players with 100 points. Ron Francis, Rick Tock, Kevin Stevens, Mary. Lemieux just had 160 points.
That was the year he had cancer.
He only played 60 games.
60 games. He had clumps of hair missing on the back of his head, and he beat the guy from Buffalo there.
McGillney?
LaFontaine.
Yeah. Brent, before we let Matt go, we got to ask him about his coaching. Like, you're coaching a new program in second year, right?
Yeah, second year. But the program's been around, but I'm the first full-time head coach rookie.
That Wally dug that up. That's in the archives.
Yeah.
Thank you.
What's your record?
I'm sorry, Wally. I'm sorry.
What's the record?
Hey, I got it. We can end the interview now.
Our record's not strong right now. We have 13 freshmen playing.
Oh,
yeah. So we're trying to get a whole new crop of guys in, but we have a good group. It's fun. It's been a blast. I love coaching. We're like 5 wins and I don't know how many losses, but we're pretty young. Like we played some of the better teams have like a lot of D1 transfers or older guys that have that COVID year.
Yeah.
And what's your son's team? What's the oldest guy on your son's team, Yoki?
They've got a fifth year guy that's like 26 years old at Elmira. Yeah, like it's old.
We have a 97 we play against on one of the teams. I have a kid that's an 04. He's an 04.
Playing against 97.
Yeah, yeah. This COVID thing, like there's a lot of older kids, you know. So
yeah. So what's your system? Are you more of a Jacques type coach?
Yeah, absolutely.
You use a lot of his teachings in your style?
I do. I appreciated Jacques. Like I don't know how it was for you guys, but like he's the first guy I had as a coach to like talk to you, and you know, some of it was scripted as we know, but he talked to you about different things and like, you know, when he came in, you can say, like, hey guys, did you see those guys banging nails on the roof?
Yeah.
How good a job do we have? You know, like all that stuff. And the best job is to be a hockey player and all that stuff. Yeah. I thought he was a good guy. Like those meetings at the end of the year with like who's the GM we had that had the big lips and he's a funny guy. He's a
scout. Marshall Johnston.
Marshall Johnston.
Yeah, I remember going to see I was in Boston and Michael Collins just ripped the shit out of you. Then I go to Ottawa and have a bad year, and you go in to see Marshall and he's like, Sean, I'm not gonna say you were the best player. I'm not gonna say you're the worst player either though. You know.
Yeah.
He always had great sayings.
Well, no, he's a nice guy.
Leave the dance that you took the girl to.
He was a good guy.
He was a great guy. You know, he's going to trade you or whatever. He just didn't have to be a jerk. It was nice. That's what I liked about Jacques too, though. He was the same way. It was all professional. Very professional.
And Marshall didn't screw around. Like when it came to Yash, he was very, he's not playing. I'm not catering to this guy. Yeah. Marshall was perfect for the GM spot for that time because he was just meat and potatoes.
What a trade.
Oh, that was a very good trade. Yeah, he did okay. Yeah. Who's this Chara guy?
Yeah.
Now, so I was going to bring it up. Bill McCault went 70 games and never scored that season. And you guys tried like hell to get him a goal. Yeah. Do you remember that last game?
I don't remember the last game. I do remember that. I remember he introduced us. We were in the range at playing the Rangers. He introduced me to Tom Brady. I'm a big Patriots fan. I was jacked.
Oh, wow.
Because they went to Michigan together.
So they were buddies?
Yeah.
McCault and Brady.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
McCault was the associate head coach of Michigan until like a year or two ago.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a nice gig.
Yeah. He was a good kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before we go, because I have to put this in because it's sponsored, is our Wendy's Did You Know? I had to dig this up today. On March 20th, 1999, you scored the game-winning goal in St. Louis, which would be your 30th of this season, making you just the second Ottawa Center to ever score 30 in a season. Of course, Yashin was the first. And then on March 21st, almost 2 years to the day later, you scored your second 30-goal season in a 5-2 win over Phoenix. And you have zero pucks. You don't have one.
Not 29. Not 29.
I have the 29th goal puck.
Ah, that's the important one.
What a grinder, right?
He's right, though. 30 in arbitration gets you a lot more. 30 gets
yes. So you were the first player. I remember.
Before we get going, Mac, how do you like your steak? How do you like your steak done? This is an important question.
Medium rare.
There we go.
This guy eats his steak medium. Sorry, well done.
No.
Wally.
Medium well.
Not surprised. Not
medium well. Medium well.
Just like me, it needs to be very thorough. That's the arbitration, by the way. How hard was that to go through? Because if I'm not mistaken, you were the first player I remember hearing about it and how. One side sits there and says how bad you are as a hockey player and why they shouldn't pay you. And you have to sit and listen to it, right? Because they don't want to pay you money. So they tell you all the reasons why they shouldn't be paying you more.
Yeah, I went twice. The first time I went with Pittsburgh and they were like, it's just all comparison. So at the time, I think they compared me like John LeClair because he hadn't scored 50 yet. And it was like, yeah, you score this amount in 13 minutes. This is what you get. The time I went with Ottawa kind of stunk because they didn't have a GM yet or a new GM came in. It was Rick Dudley. And it's kind of shitty because you have a lawyer and he says you're Wayne Gretzky and the league, the team lawyer just starts ripping on you how bad you are. But there's only two people in the room that played in the NHL, me and Rick Dudley. You know what I mean? It's just like,
yeah.
And I think I've read quotes from Rick saying how bad he was, a super nice guy, how bad arbitration is for an organization. And he mentioned mine and how like, it was just ridiculous, you know?
Yeah.
So it was odd, but it's part of the business when you're doing it, you know.
I went 1 year with Marshall Johnston, and you mentioned what a nice guy he was, and we had this guy back then, Ian Pulver, was our.
He did mine too.
Yeah, he's really good, and finally in arbitration, like he's going on about all these stats, and I was one of the first guys they used block shots for. I got in front of a lot of pucks that 1 year, and so he's going on and this and that's. Finally, blocking shots. Finally, Marshall Johnston gets up during the meeting. He's like, all right. I like Jason York as a player. He is good, but he's not fucking Bobby Orr. And he sits down and he's all mad. I'm like, can we get this over with?
That's Marshall liked the good Christmas party, too.
Yes, he did. Yes.
What a before great we go, I want to say, Have you ever looked at the stats from your draft class? You're a sixth round pick, and I believe you finished. Yeah, you're sixth overall in goals from that draft class, 10th in assists, 8th in points. Like when you look back at your career, where do those like numbers rank for you?
I didn't know that. That's pretty cool. I don't know. I remember getting drafted. I remember being in Pittsburgh, and I would just look at the guys drafted in front of me and think, like, I got to play more than that guy. I got to get better than that guy, you know? So, I don't know. I didn't know those stats. It's pretty neat. No.
See, I always take care of you. And last thing before we go is I looked at your roster for Suffolk. No Canadians on. And that might be why your team may not be as good as it should be. Maybe
that's going to change. That's going to change next year, Brent. You know why? There's a slight problem. We have, I'd like to have Canadians, but we don't have international aid. So if I get a kid to come in, he has to pay the full boat. But there's this excellent player, Mike McEachran, who has dual citizenship, Canadian and American. He's going to come in and play for us next year.
Mike, nice. Your son's going to play?
Yeah, his dad's got the cake to do it.
No, it's free. It's free school. It's free school for if you're an employee of an American university.
Yoki knows my game.
So I thought he graduated already. Was he doing a master's?
He's got the 50th thing. So.
Oh boy. Yeah. He'll be buzzing.
His NBA. His NBA. So it'll be good.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. That was great, man. It was good to catch up.
Yeah. Good to see you guys.
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks for coming on. Pleasure to meet you.
All right, guys. Take care.
I appreciate it. There goes Sean McEachran. 6 years with the Ottawa Senators. I'm sorry, guys. I know I went long. I apologize. It's his fault, really.
Yeah. He's a good storyteller, though. Some good stuff.
Yeah.
He was a good guest.
Bob, you guys would get along great.
Oh, I could tell.
Yeah. You guys would get along very well.
Yeah. There's a lot in the nerd report I never got to, so we could have him back on.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I quickly want to run down some things, and then before Bobby hangs up the camera. So, and I will just get this show brought to you by DoorDash. Get everything you need. Basically, just open up the app and then select what you want from where you want. For a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order, $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code NATION25. That's 25% off up to a $10 value when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store. Use NATION25, offered valid in Canada, subject to change, terms apply, and of course, by Wendy's, where you can go and check the daily face-off Wendy's survivor pool. And don't forget about the limited time offer of Wendy's bacon portobello mushroom melt. It's fantastic, and it never disappoints. So try your luck, but don't push it, because the bacon portobello mushroom melt is only back for a limited time. If you miss it, you won't get a second chance. So sign up for the Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool. Just go to dailyfaceoff.com, up top right-hand corner, click on the Daily Faceoff Survivor icon, and then play daily for a chance to win prizes. All right. So, boys, two things. One, a lock of the day, and we want to look up. So they have 35 games left in the season. I want to know what you guys think. We'll get to lock in a sec, Gavin. Mm-hmm. I want to know what you guys think on what their record's going to be in these next 35 games.
So before we go into this, I'll say two things that just kind of popped up. I checked the timeline because I figured the boys had a late practice today. So Forsberg's back on the ice for his first practice since getting injured. And nice. Jake Sanderson is not and will not play Saturday. So you hope that the time, like it isn't a lengthy thing.
Hmm. Yeah, because you guys know that long, like they haven't played in 10 days.
Yeah,
that's
for something not
that's a concern.
He probably didn't get any kind of treatment other than, hey, whatever it is, if you ice it, rest it, don't whatever. So now that he's back and you get a better assessment, it'll be interesting because if he's not going to play Saturday, it's 2 weeks off, right? Give or take.
Yeah.
So that could be a big one. And it doesn't necessarily change my thing. I'm being extremely optimistic with the rest of my season here, boys. I think we're going to see a, you want me to just go?
Yep. Sure. Yep.
35 games, 18, 12 and 5.
Okay.
18.
Seems high. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I like the way they were at the end here. This last little bit. They got that California trip still coming up too. Not coming up, but is that in March? They're out there.
Yeah, just right around the trade deadline. So they'll all be nervous about deadline. There's going to be moves. Yeah. That's an uncomfortable back-to-back of Anaheim, LA trade deadline.
True. I don't know. I'm just going to be very, very optimistic here. I've beaten them down and bet against them enough.
Okay, good numbers. Yorkie?
I'm trying to think. They're at 42 points right now, correct? I'm looking at the standings. I think they're going to get up to around 90 points. So to get to they're going to need 48 points to do that. So whatever the math is to do that. So if you get, if you get 20 wins, that gives you 40 points. So I think they're going to go 20.
Whoa.
And out of 35 games, could they do 20 and 15?
I originally had 20, 10, and 5, and I switched it.
Yeah. So I say they're going to go. I say 20, they're going to go.
And 5.
I say they're going to go 18. They're going to go 18. They're going to get a couple of loser points in there. And
well, then that would be 18, 15, and 2.
There you go.
I like that, actually. Yeah.
There you go. I think they're going to, I think now that the pressure's off and they reached rock bottom, they're going to play looser. Mm-hmm. They're going to play better in Jacques' system. I think Korpisalo is going to give better goaltending because the pressure is now off him. And it's amazing when you don't have that pressure, how loose you can play. So
yeah, but they still got to play some tough teams.
I know, but
teams need playoff spots.
I know, but when you really have to win, it's different versus, and we've seen this year after year in Ottawa, they play much better after Christmas because you just, and that's the secret. Ottawa has to learn how to play like this when the season starts. It's almost, Bob, it's almost, if you can learn to not care, but care, you'll play much better.
Yeah.
It's so as crazy, as that sounds, you'll play much better. And I wish I would have figured it out earlier because you just, when you get that chance, you usually score if you're not thinking about it. Now too, I like their system better. I like how they're defending better. But at the end of the day, they're as good as their goalies are going to. Korpisalo has to play like he is right now. And I think now that the heat's off, I think he's going to play better.
So just so you guys know, in the last six seasons, and I included the shortened ones, the last 35 games, they've never won more than 18. And typically they're below 17. So 18, 12, 5, 15, 17, 3, 17, 14, 4. So
I don't care.
There you go. Right around there is how they always play.
I'm at 17, 15, and 3. I just don't know that they're going to make the big jump that we want them to.
It's 1 point above 500. That gets them, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So I just think they're going to hover around 500. The other team's got to play too, right? So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's why. Okay. Sure. Now moving on to lock of the day. And no Jake Sanderson will be tough, obviously, as they play Toronto. Toronto's already played two games.
Mm-hmm.
Ottawa hasn't. I don't think this is, but the Sens have won three straight games in Toronto.
Yeah. And honestly, I just went out and said I've had enough of beating these guys down and betting against them. So for that sake, I'll take Toronto.
Oh wow. Came right what? Here ready. Good for you.
Yeah. This is one of those what did I say? This is coming from the five. They're gonna get a point out of it though. That first game back is hard, man. And if teams have already played a couple games and are back into it, it's a major disadvantage. Plus, Matthews is scoring at a
right. Like Toronto's not playing great hockey. I will admit that, but I just think for them to be already in the groove back, and they're still a pretty good hockey team.
PP the last couple games, and look where Ottawa's PK is.
Yeah, 75% their power play right now in the last three games.
Yeah, I would never bet on the team playing their first game back after an extended layoff, no matter how much I thought. If Ottawa had played two games and they were going to play Colorado, who had just had 10 days off, I'd take Ottawa all day. It's so important.
Yeah. I just, I'm still amazed. Like I watched that All-Star game. I know Ottawa fans don't want to hear this. How skilled Austin Matthews is for a big man.
Yeah.
Like his stick skills are crazy. And Ottawa's coming in, hasn't played rusty. It's probably not going to be that physical. I think he's going to have himself a game.
Yeah. So that's you're taking them?
I'm taking Toronto. No, he's not. I'm taking Toronto. Okay. And Toronto's great in the regular season. That's what they do. Like they are great in the regular season.
Yep. What do you think,
Toronto? Is that what you said?
Taking Toronto.
I'm taking Ottawa. Yeah, I'm taking Toronto to win this one. Yeah. Sorry, I wrote down. I'm just trying to keep track of this stuff so you guys don't change on me. I got Toronto. So I have it back.
If it makes you feel any better, I have to turn in. I tune in most games not knowing who I took. So
I always have to go back to the sheet going, what did they say again?
Yeah. I do think Ottawa, though, after they get this game out of the way, I think they're going to get on a little bit of a roll.
I do, too. I do.
So can you put the calendar back up? Quickly for what are we in February? They've got Columbus, Anaheim, Chicago as their next three games.
That's a tasty schedule right there. Three. They could roll off three wins right there.
Yep.
But then they do Tampa, Florida, Dallas, Vegas. Like that's
none of those teams are any good. That's why we're going above 500.
Wow. So it's 7-0 out of the break here, or 8-0 for Bob.
Oh, it's 7-1 because I'm taking Toronto tonight.
Okay. Finally, before we go, I just want we've seen a lot of vacation picks from the Sens, and they've all been all, of course, down south or whatever. I think this, perhaps by Parker Kelly, is the best vacation photo we have seen out of all of them.
Down into the Dominican? That's awesome.
Covered in monkeys.
Good for him.
Wow.
I love it.
Full pride. Yeah. Full marks. I'm hoping they all had a good time because it's going to be a grind here, and I'm hoping it all works out.
Mm-hmm. Nice pick. Don't those monkeys like poop everywhere, crap everywhere? Isn't it?
I don't know, Yorkie. I'm not a monkey specialist.
They're aggressive.
So do you remember Maggie the monkey from TSN? She used to mm-hmm. pick the playoff series. Yep. So a long time ago, I was allowed to meet Maggie the monkey at the Bowmanville Zoo in a private setting with my family. And I had a banana in my backpack for the kids or something. Within like 3 seconds, she was in the backpack and had it out.
That's awesome.
I love Maggie the monkey. Anyway, and she did pee everywhere. So I will say that, Yorkie. It's fair. All right. Monday, we are in parts all over the place, but we will be back for a show as Yorkie heads to South and I have to be in Jersey.
I'll be here holding the fort down in Nashville. Nobody wants to be in Jersey.
No, not a chance. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Hey, everybody. Too. Thanks to Sean McEachran for tuning in and all you. I appreciate it. Well, take care, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to Coming In Hot. If you enjoyed the show, hit that like button and be sure to subscribe to never miss an episode. Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.